Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters and happy to be sharing as we continue to find ourselves in a series called Acts. I must say, it's provoking some great conversation amongst our community. If you'd like to be a part of that conversation, I encourage you to head over to our church website. You can find in there contact information of our team, even myself. I'd love to hear what you're learning and what you're experiencing as we study the Bible together. Today, we find ourselves in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Allow me to read from the NIV version. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. The word of the Lord. Many of us have benefited from proper signage, especially when traveling at an airport, public transit, unfamiliar highways. I remember a time we were lost in a very French neighborhood in Montreal. This is, of course, before times when maps were on our phones. I remember someone, a French-speaking person, pointing to and reading a large road sign that was just above our heads. And to this day, I still don't understand the signage or what that person was saying to me. Signs are helpful if you understand what the signs are trying to say. Because our passage today references that very thing, signs. And of course, as you read these verses today and surrounding passages, many benefited from the signs. And of course, as we zoom out, many people didn't understand these signs. Before we take a look at signs, let's remind ourselves about what we know about the book of Acts. The book of Acts is written to tell a story of many things that happened as this first young church continued to follow Jesus. There was growth and expansion that we're noting today. When studying the book of Acts, we remind ourselves that this book was not written to be a straight-up copy and paste blueprint for Christian experience and ministry. And finally, perhaps this is not to be thought of as a quick cut and paste for church growth strategy. But what we do find is a reminder as followers of Jesus to do so wholeheartedly. And what we do find is a reminder that Jesus is still saving and moving today in people's lives and has been doing so for over 2,000 years ago. And furthermore, this movement is what is growing the kingdom of God within our lives, within the lives of our friends and family, within our church, within our community, within countries around the world, as God is preparing the world for the return of his Son. So again, back to the story of Acts, written by Luke to help us learn more and more about Jesus and how the gospel spread in those early years. And what an exciting time it was to see the things that were happening, even in the midst of personal persecution. Many people were coming to believe in Jesus, and it's so encouraging to read about that time in church history. Again, of all that we read in the first five chapters, certainly it is that signs and wonders, it catches our attention we read and we get naturally get excited about all this activity. It may even leave us a little bit surprised and speechless. Signs and wonders, though, were never meant to be an end in themselves. No sign and wonder point, no signs and wonders point us, they do point us somewhere, or more accurately, they point us to someone. And perhaps this is what this passage speaks primarily to. Who is the someone behind these signs and wonders? Where and who do these signs and wonders point? So let's kind of walk through this passage. Verse 12, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. Here we read about the distinction of signs and wonders. A sign, by definition, acts again as a mark or token of authentication. The word sign is used, this very word sign is used dozens of times in the New Testament for what authenticates the Lord and his power over life and death. Jesus is authenticated as the Son of God by doing what people cannot replicate or even take credit for, signs, and they're on full display in our passage today. Wonders, signs and wonders, by definition, refers to an act causing amazement. Universally, that which a person or thing is distinguished from another and able to do. Signs and wonders, although in our text, were not meant to direct people to the apostles. They authenticated Jesus alive and moving by his Spirit. One scholar says when Jesus performed signs and wonders during his ministry on earth, he had three purposes in mind, and let's discuss. Number one, to show Jesus's compassion and interest to meet human need. And that happened, as outlined in our text and previous weeks. In this early church, signs and wonders weren't about spiritual spectacle or religious excitement. They're about revealing the living presence of Jesus and his interest, an expression of compassion, his authority, and how his kingdom was breaking into everyday life and living, even in the midst of the gravest and greatest of needs. These signs and wonders also signaled a massive shift in the way people were to interact with God. Again, church history reminds us that at this time, Christians were moving from the era of the law to the era of Holy Spirit and his church, and Jesus alive by his Spirit in the midst of those people that were forming a Christian community. One scholar says in these first chapters in the book of Acts, because of such a massive shift occurring, it was as if God was turning up the volume so that people would have the opportunity to see and hear clearly and unmistakably, all so that they would listen to and understand and believe the message about Jesus that the apostles were sharing. So what happened? These people weren't just impressed by the signs and wonders, they were changed by them. The sick were healed. Those that were afraid found courage, and ordinary believers discovered that God was closer than they ever had imagined. Secondly, signs and wonders present Jesus' credentials as the Son of God, and he was doing that to the whole world as growth and movement was moving out from Jerusalem into the uttermost parts of the earth. Our text was not the first time signage was used to authenticate Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "For this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Signage authenticating that Jesus, born in a manger, was the Son of God, born of a virgin, was the Son of God. This signage created authentication. Earlier, as we looked in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, "Men of Israel, listen to this message. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you through miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." So again, signs creating authentication of who this Jesus was. Miracles, wonders, and signage indicates Jesus, by way of virgin birth, performs signs and wonders as only the Son of God can. I believe I may have told this story before, but between my second and third year of college, I took on a summer internship in California, a church in California. It was the first time I was leaving home, and of course, the first time I would be serving formally on a church pastoral team. To summarize a long story, four or five months prior to my departure to California, I actually asked God for signage. I wouldn't suggest necessarily it was a fleece. I don't think I was testing God or my faith. I was curious to experience signage that would authenticate the power at work within Jesus' life within me and through me. I remember one stormy winter night at our church in Ontario. Julie and I were together, the last ones to leave the church, and someone pulled up unexpectedly, a lady we did not know. We welcomed her into the church. We prayed for her as we learned that she had just left the hospital, preparing for surgery on Monday morning, and had a curious thought: if only someone would pray for me, perhaps I could be healed and not walk through surgery Monday morning. We prayed in Jesus' name for her healing. And it was years later that we learned that that lady, after prayer with us, returned to the hospital, of which someone we later knew was serving as a nurse that night. And through prayer and through examination on Monday morning, it was determined the lady was healed and she would not have to have surgery on Monday morning. That story built up my faith, not in myself, not in Julie, who later became my wife, but in Jesus. How that signage authenticated my belief that Jesus does care and Jesus does have power to heal on a stormy Sunday night in that church in Ontario. And he still does in people's lives. It authenticates his credentials. Thirdly, it conveys spiritual truth. Jesus is the Son of God. And signage authenticates Jesus's personhood and his message to be a savior of the world. Someone through his name saves, heals, helps, delivers. And we need to have that authentication of that spiritual truth regularly enlivened within our lives. Back to our text, verse 12, it says, all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Very important part of the passage. Unlike the inner courts of the temple, which restricted Gentiles and women's access, Solomon's colonnade or portico stayed open to everyone all the time. So not only Gentiles and women, but the lame, the sick, and more could all gather together. And God was responding by many healings of grace and power, as we have read in our text. So this portico, this colonnade, made it ideal for the apostles to preach the message of Jesus without dividing people into race or class. Everyone stood together in a place that revealed the exclusive nature of Jesus, Jesus' gospel, the new covenant, and the kingdom of God. For from day one, the gospel was breaking down barriers and declaring salvation in Christ and how it was for everyone and anyone who believed. This portico or colony was public. Crowds gathered daily, believers and non-believers, all witnessing miracles and hearing teaching. Solomon's portico or porch was wide open, and the early church was giving witness visibly and boldly. It wasn't a secret society. People couldn't deny what they were seeing or what they were hearing, and how these signs and wonders were authenticating Jesus alive and moving by his Spirit. Jesus taught that the whole world would know and belong to one another. And so not only was the apostles teaching public and miracles happening, but the new church lived out loving each other in the most practical and empathetic ways. It wasn't a secret society, but one of radical inclusion through Jesus, sharing the truth and grace in a city that at that time many had rejected Jesus, but many now were responding to Jesus, and this was happening in Solomon's colony. Verse 14, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. The word used for added is the same word that Luke also used in Acts 2:47, which says, the Lord added to their number. It's the same word. Believers were added to the Lord. Notice, they didn't add themselves. True spiritual conversion is not a human decision, like adding your name at a restaurant for a table when it comes free. It is the Lord, duly noted what Luke is telling in the story, it is the Lord that added to his church. One scholar said there's only one way you can be added to the church, and that is by the Lord himself. And God does this to men and women. Nobody else can do it, for it is only the Lord that knows the heart of a person, and appropriate times of confession and admission will add that person to the family of God. So be reminded of that today, especially if you are a Christian. You have been added to the family of God. Jesus has done that on our behalf, a gracious and merciful gesture. Romans 1 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile, 1 Corinthians 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Again, this points to the supernatural nature of conversion, where Holy Spirit enlightens the mind, convicts of sin, calls us to repentance, and changes our heart through salvation. So today, we're not asking, do signs and wonders still happen? Or are signs and wonders for today? Because if they weren't and didn't happen today, we wouldn't be Christian. So the question coming back to us is, what are signs and wonders meant to do in us and through us? Certainly, we don't typically see such extravagant signs and wonders regularly in our community as was being seen in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 5. But let's just say, in the early church, signs and wonders weren't staged or sensational. They flowed out of prayer and obedience and a love for people. The result wasn't chaos or celebrity. It was awe, humility, repentance, and faith. Ordinary men and women discovering that God was at work among them and in the world around them. And everybody was taking notice. Some were being drawn, others not. So today, as we ask for signs and wonders, let's not chase these experiences, but let's not dismiss them either. Perhaps the better question again is, what does God intend signs and wonders to do in a community like Living Waters Church in the here and now? And how do signs and wonders help us see Jesus more clearly and follow him more faithfully? So why would we want signs and wonders at work amongst us? Again, a sign and a wonder by definition points beyond itself or points beyond the activity. And in the Bible, every genuine work of God, every healing, every miracle, every moment of divine intervention serves one purpose, and that is to reveal the character, compassion, and authority of Jesus Christ and to invite people to trust him and into that supernatural narrative. It says in verse in our text, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. That's a crazy story, friends. There must have been so much discussion at that time about signs and wonders. Imagine what we're reading here. People lying on the street, anticipating the possibility of an apostle's shadow passing on them. They're seen here bringing loved ones on stretchers and lining the streets with sick people, blind people, cripples, people who were demon-possessed. Imagine what that would have looked like. It came from all the towns around Jerusalem as well. There was something going on. Everyone was excited, so eager to get what they needed, and so hopeful, it says, they were all healed. Maybe they were healed by Peter's shadow touching them. Maybe they weren't. It doesn't actually say. It just says what the people were hoping for. The need was great, and their hope was great. If it was Peter's shadow, that'd be pretty cool, actually. But again, it's not the point. The point is that signs and wonders point to the person that is actually doing the healing. And in this case, of course, as all were healed, it was because of the gracious and generosity of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose compassion was helping them and saving them. Why is this so important? Again, because the purpose of a sign is to point to someone. The exit sign itself isn't the exit, but points to the exit. And it's the same with these miracles. These miracles were signs that pointed to the truth of the message that the apostles were proclaiming. And that message is Jesus risen from the dead and moving by his Spirit. And many people believed in Jesus and lives were changed. That's why this is so important that the apostles that prayed in Acts chapter 4, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Now, again, think of that. The fact that these early Christians prayed so earnestly for signs and wonders is all the more striking when you realize that they, of all generations, were at least in need of supernatural authentication. This was the generation, Peter, Stephen, Philip, and Paul, whose preaching was anointed like no other generation. If any preaching was the power of God into salvation and would seemingly not need accompanying signs and wonders, it would be these people and their preaching. This was the generation that had more immediate and more compelling evidence of the truth of the resurrection than any other generation. They were serving among many that had literally witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if any generation in history of the church knew the power of preaching and the authentication of the gospel from firsthand experience and evidence, it was these people. Yet, these leaders prayed passionately and earnestly, "God, stretch out your hand in signs and wonders." And friends, we need to pray that as well. "God, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Again, signs and wonders don't save people. They help people and they relieve people. Signs and wonders are not the power of God unto salvation. They do not transform the heart any more than music or an art or drama which accompany the gospel. But as one scholar says, even if signs and wonders can't save the soul, they can, if God pleases, shatter the shell of disinterest. They can shatter the cell of cynicism. They can shatter the cell of false religion. Like every other good witness to the world of grace, they can help the fallen heart to fix its gaze on the gospel, where the soul-saving, self-authenticating glory of the Lord shines. Perhaps these are the reasons the early church longed for God to stretch forth his hand to heal, and that signs and wonders were done in the name of Jesus. May that be our prayer as well, as Christians. knowing that God does have an interest to move through signs and wonders. Of course, he moves according to his will, but his heart is still full of compassion. His heart is to have signs and wonders authenticate who he is. And if signs and wonders can do that, Jesus, I believe, would be all in. It'd be very misleading to say that the reason we don't experience signs and wonders is because we don't have enough faith. This could be crushing and discouraging and perhaps even a misuse of Scripture. Think about it. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, pray in my name, suggesting that any faith is enough faith. We read the story in Mark 9 of the father who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. In this instance, the father had a lot of unbelief. He had a little bit of belief, but yet Jesus answered his prayer because he prayed in faith, knowing that Jesus Christ cares and could help. So friends, as we close, let me just say, don't doubt your faith. Practice your faith and be in agreement with Scripture and with one another. Find people that you can be in agreement with to be able to say, God saves, God heals, God helps, and God's deliver. And you can move along in your Christian journey to pray that God would heal, God would help, and God would deliver through signs and wonders. In these last few weeks, I've been prompted to ask the Lord to help me learn how to pray for others and learn how to be prayed for myself. Let's be a people that ask for help. Let's be a people that agree, that have agreement in who Jesus is and how he is still the resurrected Jesus is working in this world today to do good and not to do harm. He's alive. And as we pray in Jesus' name, we authenticate the risen Savior's present work within our lives and within this world today. So as we close, I want to pray in Jesus' name, the name that is above every name, the name that represents the Savior of the world, who is within the hearts and lives of people and is interested in helping so many, many more. So let's pray. Jesus, today, we pray in Jesus' name for one another. We thank you for a story that we learn of 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts, a story that is continuing to be written in hearts and lives through personal experience, through the witness of the truths of your word, and through your work within the world today. Lord, we pray for one another. If there are needs represented in this online gathering today, we pray in Jesus' name that you would enter into lives and homes and rooms represented here where people are gathered and where we are praying today. We pray in Jesus' name. We agree you are a healer, and we pray for signs and wonders to lift the need, to heal and to help, to protect and provide supernaturally in people's hearts and lives this very day. Lord, teach us when we have a need to turn to you and to turn to others, to find community, to be in agreement that God cares, God's with us, and God is doing supernatural things in lives today, locally and globally. And for all those things today, we say thank you, Jesus. For all glory be to you. We so need you in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I mentioned at the beginning, our study in the book of Acts is creating a lot of conversation, and it's so good. And again, I would just say again, if there's things that you'd be curious to share, to talk about, you can head over to our website to find the contact information there of our entire team. And of course, my contact information is there. Love to hear from you. Let's believe God for good days ahead. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.